Good morning. Well, I've met some of you, shaking your hand, talked to some of you. If I haven't done that yet, be sure to grab my hand afterwards. I'd love to shake a hand with a real live Canadian. We're so glad to be here. I want to say thank you to the church for hospitality. We're leaving an extra copy of this book, The God You May Not Know. It's all about Alliance Missions. They're going to put one or two copies in the church library. So if you're a person that likes to read and wants to know a little bit of what's happened in the past, some of the God stories and things, this might be a book that you'll want to look at. Okay, can we go to the next slide? This is my wife, Kathy Lou. She's sitting in the front here. We are both born in Vancouver. Grew up, obviously. Kathy Lou in Vancouver, and I did across the country, and I got to meet her when I was going to university in British Columbia. We met at an Alliance church in Vancouver. And after doing some training and that, we ended up in northern British Columbia in a small place called South Hazelton. Actually, we lived in New Hazelton. The church was in South Hazelton. We shopped in Hazelton. And the population was just, for the whole geographic area, was just a bit bigger than your town is here. So we understand what it is to live in a small town. In 1990, God moved us to go to Taiwan, and that's what we looked like. And at the time, we had two boys. Ethan was five, Philip was three. But things didn't stay that way. When we were in Taiwan, our daughter Alyssa was born, and today our two sons are married, and Ethan is married to Jillian, Philip is married to Bethany, and he has four girls. We got twins in there. So we're grandparents. So some of you might identify with us as grandparents. And it's good to be home and to be able to see them. And we're based right now out of Abbotsford. We're planning on going back to Taiwan on the Monday of the May long weekend. So it's coming quick. And we're going to have some goodbyes, which won't be easy. We've been serving in Taiwan now for about 26 and a half years. Since 2008, we have been in south central Taiwan in a rural place called Baozhong. So if I talk about Baozhong, it's like Bao and the Zhong, okay? Baozhong, that's the name of the town where we serve. And I might just throw that in at some point today as we're going along. I'll give you more information about it in a few minutes. Now, I went on the website, many websites, I searched the internet, and the only picture I could find of the church is before you painted it green. You'll just have to imagine that it doesn't look like that anymore. As I talk about this church calls itself a church. But what is a church? What makes a church distinctive? How is a church different from a service group or another group in the community? I'm going to give you 90 seconds to talk to the person next to you and come up with an answer. Go. Oh, that was fast, and I don't even think it took 90 seconds. You must be extremely intelligent. Okay, Invermere Alliance Church is this place isn't very big in Vermeer, so there aren't very many churches, but there are other churches because I've looked it up. You're one of the churches in the community here, and that means that you are what we commonly refer to as a local church. A local church is located in a specific community, and like this church, a local church has the responsibility to connect the people of the community, the people that come into the community, with the kingdom of God. There are lots of ways to do that, and maybe you even mentioned some of those things as you were talking. This church, though, has an additional relationship. It has a relationship with 440 Christian and Missionary Alliance churches in Canada. Now, the Alliance, as we talk about it, it was founded in 1887 by Albert Benjamin Simpson. He had a passion to see people go and share the gospel with people living in other countries. And because of that passion, he founded what was called the Missionary Alliance. The goal was to send people to share the gospel of Christ in Africa, in China, and in other faraway places. And to support the sending out of missionaries, he founded a second organization, which he called the Christian Alliance. These groups, or the Christian Alliance groups in different cities, were initially called branches, and only later became known as churches. After a number of years, the two organizations united under the very creative name of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. In each city, the Alliance churches were responsible for supporting the efforts to share the gospel at home, where in Canada, the United States, and also overseas. Each group had the responsibility to help believers know Christ in a deeper way. They were responsible to teach people about the Spirit-filled life. Today, there are believers worshiping in about 16,500 Alliance churches in 81 different countries around the world. And each one of those Alliance churches is connected by the vision that Albert Benjamin Simpson had and shared with people, shared with the Christians of his day. We're connected by the common vision to take the gospel to people who have not yet heard. We want to tell people around us about Jesus' love, and we want to share cross-culturally so that everyone has the opportunity to hear. Alliance churches share the gospel where they're located. That's what you're doing. And they share it, have a passion to work outward to those living further away and even in faraway places so that they have the opportunity to hear. And that's how we in the Christian Missionary Alliance, you and me, are obeying the command that Jesus gave us in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses, my witnesses, Jesus said, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In today's scripture reading that we're going to read in just a second, the Apostle Paul explains what motivated him to travel all over Europe and the Middle East there from place to place sharing the gospel. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to read from Romans 15, verses 17 to 21. And we're going to everyone read it in unison, but we will stand to honor the reading of God's word. Let's read together. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. I have been following the plan spoken of in the scriptures, where it says, those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand. This is the word of God. Please be seated. It was words like this in the Bible that challenged the church members of the early Christian and Missionary Alliance. And it's still what motivates the Christian and Missionary Alliance today. We want to take the gospel message to those who will not hear unless someone crosses cultures and goes and tells them. Over the last 26 and a half years in Taiwan, Kathy Liu and I have had a number of different work assignments. For the past 9 years, we've been assigned to living in the Taiwanese, or in the countryside, working to share the gospel with Taiwanese working class people. We're also trusting God to help us to start a church among the working class people. Taiwan is a democracy. The Constitution of Taiwan guarantees freedom of religion. But reality is that friends and family pressure people to worship idols and to worship ancestors. So there's not really total freedom of religion. They're tied to a traditional religion and the worship of ancestors. And that makes it difficult for people to see or to want to make a decision to leave that and believe in Jesus as the personal Savior. Only about 4% of Taiwan's people claim to be Christian believers. And in the countryside, the percentage is much lower. It's usually considered to be less than 1%. The Taiwanese working class people have a great need to hear the gospel. To say that in another way, the Taiwanese working class people are considered to be a least reached people group. That means there's not a natural way for them to easily hear the gospel from within their own cultural group. The definition of a least reached people group is that the percentage of Christians is below 5% and the percentage of evangelical Christians is less than 2%. There are 6,600 least reached people groups in the world that have been identified, and about 4,000 of those are in Asia. That's the reason why the Christian Missionary Alliance chooses to send most of its cross-cultural workers to least reached people groups. These people have the greatest need. And that's the reason why Christian Missionary Alliance missionaries serving in Taiwan have been focusing on the Taiwanese working class people since 2005. Now, Taiwan has a population of about 23 million people, or 23 and a half million, actually. And about two-thirds of those who identify themselves as Taiwanese working class people. There's great need in Taiwan. We need to seize the opportunity to take the gospel to them. We need to use this opportunity to obey the Great Commission and go and take the good news about Jesus to those who have not yet heard. In 2013, another Canadian couple heard the call of God and came to help serve with us in Taiwan. One fall Sunday in their church in Toronto, the pastor that was speaking that morning asked, are you willing to go? Are you willing to go wherever God asks, whenever God asks, and to whatever place God asks? And the two of them that morning sensed that God was talking to them. And they prayed about it. And within 1 year, God made it possible so that they could be in Taiwan. And we asked them to go and learn what we call the Taiwanese dialect of the Chinese language. It's also known as Hokkien or Southern Min. But it's the language that the majority of the working class people in Taiwan use. And they needed to learn that because we want to communicate with people, if we can, in the language that they use most of the time, in their heart language. Today, as I'm here speaking and as Kathy's sitting here, Albert and Elaine Liu are giving leadership to the work in Baojong Township. The burden of the four of us on this missionary team is that Taiwanese working class people will make the decision to believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We want to see a church started where they can worship. We want to see a church started so that Taiwanese people can hear the good news about Jesus Christ in a natural way from within their own cultural group. And that hope is expressed in the vision that I shared with the men yesterday, but we'll share with everybody here on the screen. O Lord, for your glory, grow reproducing communities of disciples transformed by Christ, transforming working class Taiwan and the world. Amen. We believe that the opportunity to take the gospel message to Taiwanese working class people is an opportunity that God is giving us in the Christian Missionary Alliance at this very point in time. And today we're here in this church not only to report to you, but to add our thanks to the thanks you just received from President David Hearn. We want to say thank you. Thank you for your long-term support for Alliance Missions. This church is a partner in what is happening in lots of places around the world. Your prayers are making a difference. Your giving is providing resources that we need, and it's making a difference. And both short-term and long-term workers, like Lisa, are being sent because you are engaged, you're involved. So, thank you! Did you hear me? Thank you for what you've done in the past. Thank you what you're doing right now. And thank you for what you're going to be doing in the future. You see, we realize that we need you. You are a part of the team. And we're on mission together, everyone, everywhere, all the time. I say that because we are on the same team. The location where we are working is different. You're here in Invermere, and we get posted way over there on a small island that looks like a leaf in the ocean just off the coast of China there. But we are all on the same team, and we're all looking to expand the kingdom of God. We're working in a rural location. And when we come home to Canada, we're often asked, what do churches look like in Taiwan? Now, if you were to go on Google and Google church in Taiwan, you would probably come up with some of these interesting looking church buildings. But the Crystal Church and the High Heel Shoe Church and the Paper Church are really just tourist attractions for people to go and take some cute photos. The actual church buildings that are used on Sundays are quite similar to what we have here in North America or in Hong Kong. In the town of Baojong, where we have been living, we have three church buildings. On the left is the Roman Catholic church building. On the right is the Village Gospel Mission Gospel Center. And similar to us, they are just in the process of starting a church in town. And in the middle is my home away from home, Canada, and it's also the building where the Baojong Alliance Church is meeting. 4 years ago, we did not have one church member. But today, there are about 12 people, including the Liu's family of five, but we have about 12 people who call that place their spiritual home. Our goal is to give least reached people groups access to the gospel. Now, Taiwan has about 15 million people who identify themselves as working class people. And most of these people need to hear the gospel. Most of the 15 million people will not have one Christian friend. Most of these people will believe in the traditional folk religion that combines Taoism, Buddhism and Confucian thought. Taoism has a massive number of gods, and each god will help people in some way. Buddhism, they're trying to get rid of their feelings and things. And Confucian thought is very humanistic and really is talking about human relationships an awful lot. They worship ancestors and they fear ghosts, and they have many rituals to persuade the spirits around them to provide protection. Their lives are filled with superstition. But because they already have this belief system and it kind of blends with their way of life, they don't feel a felt need to want to go and explore and find out about Jesus or another solution. And then family members and their friends put pressure on people to continue the traditional practices. When we first arrived in Baojong, we did not know anyone. So how do you go about starting to get to know people? Well, God opened the door so that we could become involved in community service. And that's how we're getting to know people. Schools have welcomed us to come help the students understand that there are other cultures besides the Taiwanese culture. We're invited to use the club time in the school each week to teach them English and to teach them about culture. And we teach about American culture, Canadian culture, and Christian culture. We help them with English pronunciation. We use English to sing songs and play group games. And to sharpen their listening skills, we tell English stories. And recently, all the stories we're telling are all Bible stories. The students love the stories. And through the stories, the students are learning about God. They're learning about Jesus Christ. Because of the relationship with the schools, we are able to use the schools' facilities to hold summer camps. And recently, one of our elementary schools has said, could you hold a camp during winter vacation? Winter vacation is right around Chinese New Year time. We can't do that unless we have teachers come from Canada. So if you want to pray into that with us, we have an opportunity, but until God gives us the resources, we can't take advantage of that one. In closing, let me tell you a story about one of our students. His name is Brian. Brian's in the blue, standing in the right. Brian's just one of our elementary school students that we've been working with for a few years. He seems quite open when we tell the Bible stories in the classroom. Brian's from a traditional home that practices the traditional folk religion. Because Brian likes the stories, and he likes us, he comes to the children's club at our church. He also attended the summer camp that we were able to offer because short-term workers came from Canada to help us. And at the very first camp, which would be almost four years ago now, Brian prayed the prayer to ask God in heaven to be his father, his heavenly father. Kathy Lou and Elaine went to visit Brian's home and met his mother and some of the other family members. They were able to go back and begin to get to know Brian's mom a little bit more, and even because she was interested, begin to talk about some spiritual things. And then Elaine was able to go and begin to read some Bible stories and talk with Brian's mom about the Bible. But one day, when Elaine went, the door was latched, it was locked. And Brian's mom, through the screen door, said, "You can't come here anymore. You're not welcome. My mother-in-law has declared that Christians cannot come and visit at our home anymore. And she has told me really clearly that if I believe in Jesus, they will kick me out and I won't have anywhere to live." Brian's still permitted to come to church events as long as his dad says he's permitted, and he was able to do that. I can't tell you if he's still attending because I'm not there, but he was able at least for a while, and he may be still able to come to church-sponsored events because his dad's got the authority to say, yes, he can do that. So we don't really know how God is working in the lives of Brian and his mom, but we know there's a spiritual battle. There's spiritual opposition to the early stages of belief in Jesus. So this morning, once again, I want to say thank you. Thank you for caring about people like Brian. Thank you for caring for people like Brian's mom. And thank you for supporting us so that we can go and tell people like Brian and Brian's mom about Jesus' love. This morning, as I prepared, I sensed I was probably supposed to ask you a couple questions. Your church is involved, but what will it do next? What's the next step? Of course, you're in a great location to reach out to people around you and reaching out to people that come into your community. And you support Lisa, and you, I know you really care about people in Africa, and you pray for missions. But what are you personally going to do as the next step? Are you going to make a commitment to make sure that you're at prayer meeting so that you can pray with others for the missionaries? Are you going to take my picture card on the back and not use it on your dartboard, but put it in your Bible or somewhere else to remind yourself to pray? Or are you going to get a picture on your mobile phone afterwards of Cafe Me and put a reminder in your phone so that once a week or once a month that you pray for what's happening for least reached people that need to hear about Jesus? Are you going to say, God, if you give me extra money, I'm going to give that extra, a tithe of that to missions this year, and just see how much God wants to bless you, but how much God wants to bless people and our church so that we can tell others in faraway places about Jesus? Or maybe, as Pastor already mentioned, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, I'm still healthy. I could still do something. I could go and tell some English Bible stories with somebody to translate to some Taiwanese children. I could do it. Or maybe you're young. Or maybe you have a young son, daughter, grandchild. Are you willing for them to go and you support them? I don't know what God's asking you to do, but I want to ask you, what's the next step for you this morning? Pastor, why don't you come and lead in prayer and as God leads you.